It's how the German Lutheran theologian Rudolf Otto described the holy as a mystery, mysterium, both terrifying, tremendum, and fascinating, fascinans. You are awed by the presence of something vast. We've all had such experiences. Welcome to 10 Minute Mitzvah, episode 196, The Choices We Make. I'm Meir Soloveitchik.
Rabbi Soloveitchik's year-long 10-Minute Mitzvah podcast is generously sponsored by Ivan and Susanna Kaufman.
C.S. Lewis, perhaps the most influential writer about religion in the 20th century, in explaining his own approach to faith and the religious life, argues that making choices about morally right actions is not only about knowing that one will be judged and rewarded based on those choices. It is also that the choices, bit by bit, day by day, form us, change us, mold us. As Lewis writes, quote, "I would much rather say that every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part of you that chooses, into something a little different from what it was before." End quote. Throughout life, in other words, you are transforming yourself, or as he puts it, quote, "taking your life as a whole with all your innumerable choices," end quote. Whether one forms oneself, Lewis argues, into a heavenly embodiment of existence, or very much the reverse, every choice matters. Seemingly small choices, bit by bit, are profoundly transformative. In Jewish texts, perhaps the most famous expression of this concept is found in the medieval anonymous work Sefer HaChinuch, which gives us the phrase, "Acharei ha'pulot nimshachim ha'levavot," the hearts follow the actions. Actions form us. Choices transform us. Seemingly small choices, when repeated, have an exponential impact in making us who we become. The formative nature of regularity in choice, righteous or otherwise, lies at the heart of the Jewish halachic worldview. In my Faith and Film lecture about the documentary Jiro Dreams of Sushi, wherein I discussed the nature of regularity and constancy in a chef's craft, I cited a late version of a midrash which argues that the verse that embodies the Torah's worldview is the obligation to bring in the temple the daily offering twice a day, in the morning and in the afternoon, a korban offering known as tamid, the constant korban. Regularity is religiously elevating. And while we tend to focus on dramatic choices, singular sacrifices, often it is the regular ritual that truly makes an impact. Rabbi Sacks, commenting on this midrash, put it this way, quote, "All the high ideals in the world, the human person as God's image, belief in God's unity, and the love of neighbor, count for little until they are turned into habits of action that become habits of the heart. We can all recall moments of insight when we had a great idea, a transformative thought, the glimpse of a project that could change our lives. A day, a week, or a year later, the thought has been forgotten or become a distant memory, at best a might have been." And Rabbi Sacks further adds a bit after, "Judaism's greatness is that it takes high ideals and exalted visions, image of God, faith in God, love of neighbor, and turns them into patterns of behavior. Halakha, Jewish law, involves a set of routines that, like those of the great creative minds, reconfigures the brain, giving discipline to our lives and changing the way we feel, think, and act." End quote. It is with this insight that we can approach what is, for Nachmanides, a mitzvah of its own, and that is an exhortation in the Torah that all offerings, no matter how important, no matter how dramatic, that are brought in the temple every day must only be offered after the morning tamid and before the afternoon one. The regular ritual, in other words, always frames all other offerings of the day. This, for the rabbis, is derived from a scriptural description of the altar upon which the daily regular offering has been brought. V'yarach aleha chelvei hashlamim. On this altar, the fat of the peace offering shall be brought. Meaning, only on an altar that has already had the regular ritual performed upon it can other offerings brought for sin or as a peace offering to be shared with others also have their rituals performed. The symbolism here is sublime. Only within the regular framework of ritual, an offering in the morning and an offering to conclude, do the seemingly grander rites truly take on the intended significance. Rabbi Sacks, in his own aforementioned discussion, wrote the following, quote, "We have developed in the West a strange view of religious experience, that it's what overwhelms you when something happens completely outside the run of normal experience. You climb a mountain and look down. You are miraculously saved from danger. You find yourself part of a vast and cheering crowd. It's how the German Lutheran theologian Rudolf Otto described the holy as a mystery, mysterium, both terrifying, tremendum, and fascinating, fascinans. You are awed by the presence of something vast. We have all had such experiences." And then Rabbi Sacks adds a bit after, "But that is all they are, experiences. They linger in the memory, but they are not part of everyday life. They are not woven into the texture of our character. They do not affect what we do or achieve or become. Judaism is about changing us so that we become creative artists whose greatest creation is our own life. And that needs daily rituals." End quote. I have cited, I believe, this passage from Rabbi Sacks before, but it allows us here to truly understand the meaning of our mitzvah. The altar is available for all sorts of offerings, some commanded, some voluntary, some rare and therefore dramatic, but they can only take place within the framework of a temple schedule that has regular ritual first and which concludes with regular ritual. For it is regular, constant choices that form spiritually the servants of God we are asked to be. Rabbi Sacks often wryly cited the quip by Isaac Basheva Singer, "We have to believe in free will. We have no choice." We do indeed believe in free will as Jews. In every moment, a human being makes manifest the ability to choose. But our choices do form us. And so, as we make our choices and ponder our daily deeds, we need to ask ourselves what sort of person we wish to become. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.